Welcome back, Drive Time Sports on your home for Denver Nuggets basketball, Extra Sports 1300. We've had a lot of lively discussions this week locally regarding Michael Malone and who is to blame for the Nuggets fading down the stretch. For a national perspective on the Nuggets and the association as a whole, we turn to Kurt Heelan of Pro Basketball Talk. You can also listen to him on NBC Sports Radio, the 24/7 live sports talk network, which you can listen to at NBCSportsRadio.com and download the NBC Sports Radio mobile app today. Kurt, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. I was playing, before we get into real NBA talk, I'm playing NBA 2K, and on my franchise screen, I see they have a Twitter scroll of the movers and shakers of the basketball media elite, and I see my buddy Kurt Heelan on there. Do you write your own video game tweets?
No, I do not. I do not spy into your machine and then tweet about it. Unfortunately, it's handled through 2K, and it's kind of interesting. You sign up for that every year, but I think you are the first person to ever use me and the word elite in the same sentence, so I'll take
it.
Oh,
nonsense, my friend. All right. I was going to say, if you were actually talking smack about how bad my team was struggling on my franchise mode, I was going to be disappointed. So, okay, so let me generalize this and not just make it about Michael Malone, and then we'll get more specific. When there is a team that you see down the stretch in games or down the stretch in the season that routinely comes out looking uninspired, not ready to play, loses to teams consistently that you look on paper and say they shouldn't lose to, in general, how much blame should a head coach take for something like that?
Obviously some, because it's their ship and their captain. You know, they are captain of the ship. But to me, in the NBA, unlike the job of a college coach, where you are a little more of a, your motivation and your ability to kind of, your rah-rah, fire these guys up type of speeches, I think play a bigger role. In the NBA, there's just an assumption by the coaches on every team that I'm going to treat you like a professional, and you're going to show up and play like a professional every night and bring it. And that obviously doesn't happen over the course of a long 82 games. Frankly, it doesn't happen over 16 games in the NFL. There's just off days. But the best teams, that happens a lot less because of their professionalism. And that's, to me, that falls on the players as much or more. Like, if you're Denver, you can't, you know, it's one thing to lose to the Raptors or what have you, but that Grizzlies lost, and you know, the Lakers have been playing better, but those are the kind of games you've got to find ways to win. You just can't have those really ugly losses and then climb back into the playoffs. It makes it brutal. So I think Malone deserves some criticism this year. This is a bad defensive team and some other stuff, but I don't think it all falls on him either.
Mm. So when you look outside of Michael Malone, when you see this team against Memphis, or like the other night in the third quarter against the Sixers, when you've watched this team lately, what sticks out to you? What is the overriding problem? Is it strictly defense that they can't stop anybody?
I think that's where their problems start, because that's, in an ideal world, that's your consistent basis. Even if you're not, you know, offense is started to evolve to matter more and more in the NBA over the last few years, and just the way things are set up. The offenses have swung ahead of the defenses a little bit on the pendulum, and eventually that'll swing back. But right now, offenses have a little more power. But that said, you look at the best teams in the league, Houston gets stops, Toronto gets stops, the Warriors, when they're healthy, can get stops. Cleveland has tried to outscore teams for a couple of years now, and they you know, eked out a title in 2016, but they couldn't do it last year in a down conference. You've got to get that. That can be your base. That can be your consistent end. You don't have to be elite at it if you've got a great offense, but you've got to get to middle of the pack or so, and this team just doesn't do that by scheme and by player and by everything else. It just hasn't been what they've needed it to be this year.
They'll probably end up with a better record than they did last year. And I've been saying that this team in a lot of ways, is better than there were the previous year. And to watch the progression under Michael Malone, they have gotten better in areas. But when you look at perhaps where people had the Nuggets pegged, I had this team and Minnesota, for that matter, given that they're at the bottom, but I know Jimmy Butler's injury probably has played a role. I had them, you know, 4, 5, 6 in the West, and now we're looking at it like it's going to take a Herculean effort just to get into the 8th spot. When you look at the Western Conference as a whole, and even throwing the East, where would you put the Nuggets in terms of teams on the negative side that haven't quite lived up to the expectation that maybe we have for them in the season?
Yeah, they have been a bit of a disappointment. I would agree, because I thought they'd finish higher. But like you said, they're going to finish with, 44 wins probably, give or take, when this all is all said and done, which is a step up over last year. And part of the problem is the West is just brutal this year. The West is just, you know, it's going to take 45, 46 wins to get into the playoffs. Maybe Denver can get there. Maybe they get some help, as Minnesota has really stumbled without Butler a little. So maybe you catch a break and can slide past the late Clippers and get in. But it to me, they're in that mix of teams that are a disappointment. With, like, I expected more out of the Bucks. There's a few other teams, and their problems were distinctly coaching and distinctly system. I think in Denver, they've needed to figure out what it's going to take, whether it's a coaching change and or some personnel moves, not only with another shot creator and some more depth, but and having Jokic take a step up in leadership, but also do they need to go find the NBA equivalent? The best NBA example would be David West. Do they need their veteran guy in the locker room who takes no crap and can kind of push these guys, even if he's not a central role player? Like, how do they get this to the next level is something that they've really got to spend the offseason figuring out. Like, what is that missing piece?
Is Paul Millsap too soft-spoken to play that role?
Yeah, he's more a lead-by-example guy than a... And obviously, the Millsap injury... I mean, if he's healthy all season, I don't think we're having these conversations. I think they're farther up the board. But that's, you know... I don't think that that's necessarily his nature. He's just not, at least my impressions and just talking to people around the league, I don't think he's that necessarily that kind of veteran in the vocal leadership type of style.
Kurt Helin, Pro Basketball Talk, NBC Sports Radio, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Who's done a better job, Mike D'Antoni or Quinn Snyder?
That's a really... I'm going to say Quinn, because the culture he's built there that kept this team going, and then, you know, look, we knew that they could be really good defensively when healthy, and it turns out they could be really good defensively when healthy. He's had a phenomenal coaching season, but I think sometimes we sleep on how good Mike D'Antoni's been. They're not playing Mike D'Antoni's system this year. Like, he's always been seen as a system guy. They're playing, their pace is like 11th or 12th since the All-Star break. They've slowed it down. They are bringing back isolation basketball with shooters around them, which doesn't work for most teams, but if you can put shooters around James Harden and let him go, one of the probably 10 best isolation players ever to play in the NBA, maybe 5 best, I mean, he's so good one-on-one or off of a pick like that, it's just the smart basketball move, right? And credit to coaches who have to change. I think Dwayne Casey could win Coach of the Year based just on that. Like, hey, I was able to change what I was doing and change who my team was and change that style with largely the same roster.
Wrapping up the Western Conference before I let you go, Kurt, how worried should the Warriors really be? Not just from the Rocket, how good the Rockets are, but with all these injuries that they have sustained and Steph Curry not playing in the first round, all this kind of stuff, how worried should the Warriors be that they're not going to make it through?
A little. I mean, I would be concerned. I think first off, you touched on part of it. Houston might be the best team they've played in the Steve Kerr era. The Houston team is very good. And I think Kevin Durant's coming back. We're going to get Klay Thompson probably by the weekend back on that roster, and you know they'll have Draymond Green. They'll be fine. They only have 3 All-Stars and a bunch of guys who've won titles. Like, they'll be okay. But to beat Houston, and maybe even in the second round against a decent Portland team, but really up against Houston in the finals, they need the full spicy Steph Curry. Like, they need, look, remember 2016 in the finals, whole thing's on the line. Everything's on the line at the end of the 2016 finals. Steph Curry can't shake Kevin Love on the perimeter and get the shot he wants. That Steph Curry, they can't, because he didn't fully trust his knee yet after that sprain. They can't have that Curry. They've got to have the full Curry, or I would be worried.
You can follow Kerr on Twitter at Basketball Talk. Of course, listen to him on NBC Sports Radio, the 24/7 live sports talk network, which you can listen to at NBCSportsRadio.com and download the NBC Sports Radio mobile app today. Pro Basketball Talk is where you see his writing and you see his fake tweets on a video game console near you. Kerr, always appreciate
If you want, I'll come over to your house and just snipe at you live in person about how bad your team is.
I would love to. I would love that. That'd be great. Thanks, Kurt. Really appreciate it, man.
Anytime.
Kurt Helin, Pro Basketball Talk, joining us here on Drive Time Sports. Kurt's becoming one of my fast favorite national guests because he actually can have a conversation about the Denver Nuggets and speak with authority because he actually watches them. And as we discuss on this show, the Nuggets really aren't in the national consciousness that much. So to have a national guy on that can give that perspective while still knowing about your local team is pretty cool. We will take your thoughts on what Kurt had to say. He says it's more about the players than Michael Malone. 286-0046. We will get to those texts on the other side here on Extra Sports 1300.